let's just praise Him. Father, we do praise You. We do thank You, Father, for Your love, for Your grace, for Your mercy, for all that You've done for us, for all that You continue to do for us, for sending Your very best gift when man messed up so much, to redeem us, Father. We thank You. We're forever grateful for it. Father, we thank You that You are in our midst this morning. You said, where two or three are gathered in My name, there I would be in the midst of them. And most of all, Father, we thank You for the anointing of the power of God that shall be manifested and shall be demonstrated in our midst today. And we shall give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, turn around, tell somebody you're glad they're here this morning. Well, surprise, surprise. First of all, I want to tell you, Pastor is okay. We had wonderful meetings. Thank you so much for remembering us. It was awesome. I'm telling you what, it was so easy to minister, and the people were so receptive. It was great. And but toward the end of the, you know, we had different weather. It was beautiful. It was the trees were beautiful, but it got really cold there. Yeah, I'm glad I don't live there. But it got really cold, and yeah, the pastor was kind of attacked with a cold, a head cold, and so he was preparing yesterday, as he always does. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. And he was coming, but I perceived that he needed to rest a little bit more, because we are leaving tomorrow to go to Dallas to be on the Daystar program at 11 o'clock Tuesday morning. And he's going to have to minister in that. And so I said, honey, for once he listened to me, okay? I said, honey, why don't you just take it easy? You rest, and I'll do the service today. So that's what he did. So, but he is fine. Like I say, he's fine. I just wanted to let you know. This morning, I want you to turn to Mark 5. Mark 5. A familiar story that you've heard many times, starting with verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue, I want you to concentrate on that word issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You know, I've heard my husband preach on this scripture time and time and time again over the almost, I can't believe it, almost over the 57 years that we've been married. And yet, you know, I've never grown tired of this story. You know, it's so important that even though we hear things over and over and over again, there will be something that will enlighten us about those scriptures that we had not heard. before. You know, this story depicts the determination of a desperate woman. A desperate woman. In that age, women were considered second-class citizens. And I'm sure it took courage. It took determination for her to do what she did. And I know that, you know, when my husband ministers from this passage of scripture on healing, he says, I get more results when I tell that story than any other Bible scripture that I read. However, today, you know, I'm not going to talk about healing in your body. I'm going to take a different direction with these scriptures and apply them in different situations. You know, I was thinking, in fact, I honestly did not really remember until actually this morning as I was going over my notes that 37 years ago, on this particular day, that in 1985, this particular day was October the 20th. Guess what happened on October the 20th, which today it's the 23rd, in 1985? Some of you know, most of you don't know. Brother Bill knows. Rhema Bible Church began. 37 years ago. Now, as I was thinking about that, really, we had no idea that that was going to occur actually until June of that year. And I want to just give you a short summary of in February, in fact, it was February the 28th in 1985, Lester Sumrall, who's gone on to be with the Lord. In fact, that was the last time that he was on our campus. But we were having a seminar and he was our speaker. And I remember that particular night, it was a powerful night. The anointing of the power of God was so strong in our midst. And all of a sudden, he called my husband up to the platform and he said these words, these prophetic words. He said, I see something like a light that is covering the entire campus of Rhema here. And the dynamics and the movement and direction of that great thrust of God will come out of this man, talking about my husband, that is on the platform here. A powerful spiritual leader God is making and creating and forming and doing all the things that he needs to do for it. And he will walk in that light and many shall come from many directions. And they shall be blessed, not only his students, but others. And they shall be blessed at this place. The light of heaven, like a dome, is over this campus. God wants to bless it more and more. God wants to love it more and more. God wants to inspire it more and more. The devil is a liar. Such prosperity as you haven't dreamed of is in the offering. God will anoint and God will bring in every need of whatever kind in Jesus' name. Now, we had no idea that actually a prayer group, we've had prayer groups here for years. A prayer group was praying, and actually Patsy was in charge of the prayer center. And so she was directing the prayer group, you know, because we were on the field ministry. In fact, Brother Hagen had said, hey, you need to get out on the field more, talking to my husband, and I need to stay home. And so Patsy was directing the people, hey, you know, pray for at that time, Ken Jr., pray for him. He's out. And so they came to him and said, every time we start to pray, we pray for a pastor's heart. Pray for a pastor's heart. Finally, you know, with fear and trembling, Patsy said, just pray whatever God says, but don't tell anybody. It's so very important to let God do what he desires to do in the time that he wants to do it. And so, You know, with that prophecy, we've always been this way. You know, they're prophecies, but we just put them on the shelf and let God unfold them when he desires. And to make a long story short, it was in June of that year, 1985, and we were actually in South Africa at a dedication of the church there. And I said to Pastor, I said, honey, what's wrong with you? You're having trouble preaching. I've always loved your preaching, honey, but it's really been bad this week. And so he said, well, God's been dealing with me about starting a church. I said, oh, really? I said, you know what, God, it took me 20 years to pray out a pastor's heart. Now I got to pray it back in, you know? And to make a very long story short, because that's not what I really want to speak about, but in August of that year, his father came in and we said, we need to talk to you. And as we went to lunch, you know, my husband shared and so Brother Hagin said, you know what? God talked to me when he was in Minneapolis, and he told me, you've got it all backwards. You're supposed to stay out here and Ken's supposed to stay at home. But, you know, he only gave him that part. You see, sometimes it takes working together to see the whole part of the story that God has planned. That's why that is so very important for us to stay sensitive to the voice of God. And so, I believe with all of my heart that we are entering into a season here at Rhema Bible Church for the greatest revival that we have ever experienced. And it says here, the light of heaven like a dome is over this campus. And it says here that not only your students, but people will come from all over. And I believe that they are coming from all over to this campus. But guess what? In order to fulfill what God has planned for each and every one of us in this season, we have got to prepare ourselves. We've got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and be sensitive to listen to the voice of God. But guess what? In order to do that, there are things that we must do. Oh, yeah. Things that we must take care of in our own life to place us in a position to be used in this season. To be used in this season. You know, it's like cultivating a garden. Oh, we love it when we're able to pick the harvest of that garden, right? My dad would always plant a garden, but guess what? First, you got to prepare the soil. And then you've got to plant the seed. And then you've got to water the seed. Excuse me. And then guess what happens? Weeds come in. I remember watching my dad. He would go and pull the weeds out of the garden so it wouldn't choke out the garden. Then you got to fertilize it. And then pests come. And you got to control those as well, because otherwise those pests will destroy your garden. So guess what? We must prepare ourselves for this season. Amen. Amen. To reap a harvest. Once again, Mark 5:25 says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years, an issue. You see, this woman had an issue that needed to be removed. from her life. And she had had this issue for 12 years. And all of a sudden, you know, the passion on the inside of her says, I want this issue removed. I am willing to get out of my comfort zone, to go where I'm not even supposed to go, and find a way to see my issue resolved. I want to ask you a question. This is not a hilarious sermon, but I want to tell you what. It will get you to the place that we all must get to, as I said, to reap what we desire to reap. I want to ask you the questions. What kind of issues do you need removed from your life? What issue or issues? Most of us have issues, plural, you know. Do you need to be removed from your life? And you may say, oh, well, I don't have any issues. You're probably the very one that does. You know, over in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, love, oh my. Ignore that one, huh? Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Yeah. What about your love walk? What about your patience? These are issues, guys. What about your stubbornness? Now, that's okay if it's used in the right way. It's okay if it's used against the enemy. And I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. You know, Brother Hagin told his stories over and over and over again. I can tell my stories. Wesley gives me so many illustrations. I just love it. So one time when he was about 5, I think he was. And Wesley he's like his Nana. He's pretty strong-willed. Like I say, that's okay if you use it in the right direction. But Denise was really just frustrated at him. And all of a sudden, and he just has this twinkle in his eye. He still has that little twinkle in his eye. I said, don't ever lose that twinkle. It just makes Nana smile. So it's this little twinkle in his eye. And so Denise was frustrated at him. And she said, Wesley, you are so stubborn. He looked up at her and said, Mommy, what does stubborn mean? She said, when you get your mind made up about something, nothing or no one's going to change you. He looked up at her again with that little twinkle in his eye and he said, oh yeah, I got a lot of stubborn. I got a lot of stubborn. Well, at least he admitted it. You know, have you ever walked up to a person and usually that person is really jovial, really happy, and you just simply say hello and they bite your head off? And you will probably say to them, like I said, well, what is your issue? You know, what is your issue? Or have you ever, you know, been on a committee, head of a committee, and you start thinking about people that you might want to add to that committee, and somebody suggests somebody, and somebody else says, oh no, I don't want them on this committee. They have a lot of issues. They have a lot of issues. You know, you've probably said to your spouse, what's your issue? Or to your children, what's your issue? You know, so many times we want to point out everyone else's issue, but we want to ignore our issues. We want to ignore our issues. This morning, as I am speaking, I want you to quit rationalizing about your issues and determine to do something about them. Determine to do something about them. Once again, I want to ask you the question, what is your issue? What is your issue? You know, God has plans for this church. God has plans for you to be used for the plans that He has for us as Rhema Bible Church. Jeremiah 29:11, and I quote this a lot in the New Living Translation. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." And I like the Message translation of that 13. "When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else." As I said, if we're going to carry out the plans that God has for Rhema Bible Church and for you individually, we've got to get rid of our issues. You know, it's very difficult to help someone else to get healed of things when you need healing yourself. So we've got to chop out all the weeds, all the pests that would keep us from fulfilling what God has for us. Well, how do we do that? Number one, you must face your issue. Number one, you must face your issue. James 1, starting with verse 22 in the Amplified. I like to read the Amplified. It says, "But be ye doers of the word." Obey the message. You've got the wrong Amplified. This is the classic. "Be ye doers of the word. Obey the message and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth." It says, be ye doers of the word. Oh, you know what? We've heard the word over and over and over again from this pulpit. But let me ask you a question. Are you being a doer of the word? Are you being a doer of the word? It says, "For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. For he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and promptly forgets what he was like." Yeah, that happens so many times. You know, we hear the word, oh God, yes, I'm going to change that. We're here in church and we're going to change that. And then we leave and forget all about it. And we're the same person that we've been. And he says, but, verse 25, "But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it, and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience." Now, I want to read that actually in the Passion Translation. In the Passion Translation. And actually, I want to start with verse 21 of James 1. I love what this says. It says, "So this is why we abandon everything morally impure and all forms of wicked conduct. Instead, with a sensitive spirit, we absorb God's word, which has been implanted within our nature. For the word of life has power to continually deliver us." You see, the Word of God will deliver you from all the issues that you have. If you'll just let that word become alive in you. It says, don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it, for that is the essence of self-deception. So always let his word become like poetry written and fulfilled by your life. If you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like the person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word. You see, that's how God sees you, is how the word says that you should be. But then you go out and forget your divine origin. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty are fascinated by and respond to the truth they hear and are strengthened by it. They experience God's blessings in all that they do. Verse 26, if someone believes they have a relationship with God but fails to guard his words, then his heart is drifting away and his religion is shallow and empty. True spirituality that is pure in the eyes of our Father God is to make a difference. Listen to this, to make a difference in the lives of the orphans and widows in their troubles and to refuse to be corrupted by the world's values. You see, we have been designed to help others, to not be corrupted by the world's values. And oh my goodness, woo! Did you ever believe that the values of this world and even closer to home, the United States of America, would be what they are? It's so very important that we are not corrupted. Not corrupted. You know, in the natural, every morning we get up and you know, I don't know what you do the first thing in the morning, but every morning when we get up, there's at some point in that morning that we come face to face with a mirror. Yeah, at least I trust you do. You know, most of us, I know myself, when I get that first look, you know, in the mirror, oh my goodness, I look really scary. Hair all sticking out. The makeup that I didn't get off, black eyes, you know. Ladies, you're probably trying to find your eyelashes and your eyebrows. I know, guys, you don't understand about that. But, you know, facing our mirror first thing in the morning is not a pleasant experience, is it? Mirrors are very honest little things. They don't cover up. They don't compromise. They don't gloss over our defects and tell us that we're better looking than what we really are. No, they don't. They show us every wart, every wrinkle, every gray hair, and every zit. In fact, the better the mirror, the more flaws that we see. But why do we look in the mirror? Because as unpleasant as it may be, if we don't take a look at ourselves and do something about it, the world is going to see that morning face. I don't know about you, but I don't want the world to see my morning face. So we face the truth. We make the necessary changes that it takes to make ourselves presentable to the world. And like I like to say it, so they can recognize my natural beauty. So, far too long we have not faced our issues and done something about them.
Face your issues. It may not be a sin, but do you always want to have everything go your way? Uh-oh. Are you a person that's not flexible? Uh-huh. Yeah. This is the way it's got to be done. Are you slow to change? Are you never on time? Oh, these are issues, guys. These are issues. What about your prayer life? What about reading the Word of God? What about, do you have a miserable disposition that nobody wants to be around? You need to recognize your issues, face your issues. Far too long, we've ignored the issues, thinking that they would go away. They're not going to go away unless we do something about it. You know, sometimes we blamed our issues on someone else. Playing the blame game. We pretended that we did not have issues. Like I said, you must recognize the fact before you can do anything about the situation. It's like my husband said, you got to recognize that you need healing before you can do anything about it. You got to recognize the fact, okay, I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. I have got an issue. This little lady with the issue of blood, she realized that she had an issue and she was determined to do something about that issue. She faced the issue. Number two, don't cover up the issue. Don't cover up the issue. Many sometimes face the issue, but they proceed to cover up the issue instead of working through the issue. When you do that, you hurt yourself as well as those around you. God wants you to be a whole person. You know, so many times people pretend to be something that they're not in hopes that the issue will resolve itself. They pretend to be something that they're really not. It's like a story of a man. He was looking for a job and he noticed that there was an opening at the local zoo. He inquired about the job and discovered that the zoo had a very unusual position that they wanted to fill. Apparently, their gorilla had died, and until they could get a new one, they needed someone to dress up in a gorilla suit and act like a gorilla for a few days. He was just to sit, eat, and sleep. His identity, of course, would be kept a secret. Thanks to a very fine gorilla suit, no one would be the wiser. The zoo offered good pay for this job, so the man decided to take it. He tried on the suit, and sure enough, he looked just like a gorilla. They led him to the cage. He took a position at the back of the cage and pretended to sleep. But after a while, he got tired of sitting. So he walked around a little bit, jumped up and down, and tried a few gorilla noises. The people who were watching him seemed to really like that. When he would move or jump around, they would clap and cheer and throw him peanuts. And the man loved peanuts. So he jumped around some more and tried climbing a tree. That seemed to really get the crowd excited. They threw more peanuts. Playing to the crowd, he grabbed a vine and swung from one side of the cage to the other. The people loved it and threw more peanuts. Wow, this is great, he thought. He swung higher and the crowd grew bigger. He continued to swing on the vine, getting higher and higher. And then all of a sudden, the vine broke. He swung up and out of the cage, landing in the lion's cage. That was next door. He panicked. There was a huge lion not 20 feet away, and it looked very hungry. So the man in the gorilla suit started jumping up and down, screaming and yelling, "Help, help, help, get me out of here. I'm not really a gorilla. I'm a man in a gorilla. Help!" The lion quickly pounced on the man, held him down, and said, "Will you shut up? You're going to get us both fired." So don't cover up your issue. Are you like the man who's pretending to be something that he wasn't? You know, have you been deceiving yourself for so long that you actually believe that you're something or someone else? I say it this way: be who you are. Be who you are. Some people have an issue with the social status that they grew up in. You know, they are afraid that someone won't accept them if they know that they didn't grow up in the same social status. Don't be ashamed of where you came from. Don't be afraid. I didn't come from a family that was in a high social class. We weren't poor, but we were pretty poor. You know? For food, we had beans and fried potatoes most every day. Occasionally, we got a meat, which was bologna. Yeah. I'm not ashamed of that. And I'm not so obsessed with that that I refuse to eat beans and potatoes and bologna right now. In fact, for those of you that don't like bologna, I had a bologna sandwich last night. Yeah. And then as my husband was in bed, and actually I'd fixed him some soup and he ate soup, but he was in bed and he said, "Oh, I think I'm hungry." And I said, "Well, do you want me to warm up some soup?" "No, I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to get out of bed." "Okay." I said, "Well, what do you want?" "Well, would you fix me a bologna and cheese sandwich?" So he had bologna and cheese. You know, I've known some people that have an issue because they had to wear hand-me-downs, that they refuse to buy anything on sale. They refuse to wear anything but name brands. That's an issue that needs to be resolved. Some people want to be a clone of everybody else. They have a self-identity issue. They are afraid to be their own personality. Hey, be who you are. I remember Craig as a teenager. It was during that era the guys were wearing what they call jams. Yeah, Tony probably knows. Yeah, they were long shorts, but they were plaid. All the guys were wearing them, and they said, "Craig, you're just wearing black and gray, you know, shorts. How come?" He said, "Y'all look like clowns." He was not afraid to be an individual. I'm a bling person. I'm my individual. I don't care if it's in style or not. I'm going to wear it because it makes me feel good. However, when I went to go get some shoes for Kindle the Flame, my goodness, all these bling shoes I saw, it's like, woo, I'm in style once again. So, number one, face your issue. Number two, don't cover up your issue. Number three, don't be afraid. As you have faced your issues, you have overcome your issues, don't be afraid to share those issues and how you overcome them with someone else. Don't be afraid to share with others, to help others in their issues. You know, often, you know, you think, well, if I let somebody know what I went through, then they won't think as highly of me as they ought. Sharing your issues and how you've overcome them will help someone. I know that you've heard my story, but many years ago, I was literally petrified to fly. I hated every time that we had to get in an airplane. In fact, my husband would just, when there was turbulence, I would squeeze his hand and I would be terribly afraid. And I will never forget that one camp meeting, there were lots of people there all of a sudden. And I, you know, only my husband knew this. And all of a sudden, my father-in-law, who was ministering at the end of the service, says, there are people here that are dealing with fear, and if you will stand up, God's going to set you free. Now, that witness to my heart, I had a fear of flying, and I needed to be set free. But of course, the enemy will just always bring these thoughts to you. And the first thought, well, what are people going to say? Here's this whole crowd, this daughter-in-law who's standing up. What are they going to say? But at that moment, I wanted to be free. I wanted to be free more than I cared what people thought. And you have to come to the fact that you want to be free of whatever issue that you're dealing with. And so I stood up. Was there any feeling? No. He merely prayed a prayer. And I said, Father, I take it. I take it. And guess what? The next time I flew, I had no fear. The next time I flew, it wasn't in a big plane. Don't have time to tell that story, but it was a small plane that somebody had chartered and told us and given us a ride in that. But I had no fear. And you know how many people that I have been able to help to overcome their fear of flying? Many, many people. And so share your experiences with others. So, you know, we need to be known as people who lift up people, not pull them down. Who rescue them, not judge them. So face the issue. Don't cover up your issues. Be ready to share your issues and how you have been set free by others. But if you haven't been set free, reach out. Number four, reach out to the one that can solve your issues. Reach out to the Lord who can solve your issues. This woman, she had lived with her issue for 12 years. She had suffered much. And as a last resort, she'd come to Jesus. And many people wait as a last resort to come to Jesus. Many people never think of turning to God until all else has failed. God, we need to say, we need to make God our pilot. To be the navigator of our life. Instead of turning to Him in a desperate shipwreck situation. God has made us for one way of life. God's ways. All other ways are blind alleys. And so when this woman heard of Jesus, guess what? She said, all I need to do is to touch the hem of His garment and I will be made whole. The scripture says, for she said. Here we have a woman talking to herself. For she said. You know, it's often been a joke that when we start talking to ourselves, we're becoming senile. But not necessarily. It can be a helpful and a hopeful thing. You know, if you don't realize it, you're talking to yourself all the time. You may not be, you know, speaking it out, but I'm telling you what, in your thoughts, you are talking to yourself all the time. Only most of the time, you know, you're listening to what the enemy is telling you, and you're thinking and you're talking negative things. We need to say what God says. In a Dennis the Menace cartoon, Dennis, a frightened little boy, had just climbed into bed between his mother and his father. Dennis says, "I wouldn't be scared of the thunder if I could keep my mind off my thoughts." If I could keep my mind off my thoughts. You know what? We need to keep our mind on the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he said, you have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, a love, a sound mind. This lady kept her thoughts on the deliverer. Kept her thoughts on the deliverer. It's been said every day has two handles. We can take hold of it with the handle of anxiety, or we can take hold of it with the handle of faith. We can take hold of it with the handle of anxiety, or we can take hold of it with the handle of faith. This lady took hold of it with the handle of faith. And she said, "When I touch just the very hem of his garment, I'm going to be well." And she was. You know, in coming to grips with your issues, Jesus is always there for you. Jesus is always there for you. God always responds to the cry of faith. And if you are determined and desperate and want to get rid of those issues that you have carried for so long, God is there to help you. God is there to help you. I want to ask you a question. What is your issues, or what are your issues today? Unforgiveness? Resentment? Victim of abuse, broken relationships, self-esteem, self-worth, discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged in the days that we're living in. Are you stressed out? Burn out? And of course, all the things that I talked about before, wanting it your way. Patience. All of those things. The Lord is here to help you and to heal you and to help you get all rid of all the issues that you have. How desperate are you to become a whole person? Like I said, we all need to become a whole person. Get rid of our issues so that we can become sensitive to the Spirit of God, because He has assignments for every one of us individually. And He has assignments for us as the body of Rhema Bible Church. God will help you. He'll point you to the Word of God that will help you in every situation and in every issue that you have. I know that I had an issue of doing what I'm doing right now. Fear would grip me. Standing before an audience. And for the longest, I said, "I can't do it, God." And He says, "You can." I said, "Okay, you give me scripture." And of course, my favorite scripture, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." The Amplified says, "I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me." I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Hallelujah. You may have fought an issue of self-worth. You know, the devil may have screamed in your ear time and time again, you've made a mess of your life. You've made so many mistakes. You've taken so many detours. You've made so many wrong decisions. The devil will say, you're so worthless. How can God ever love you? How can he ever forgive you? Let me tell you, God is a God of love. God is a God of forgiveness. And so, maybe you thought and felt that you had conquered those issues, and all of a sudden the enemy just hounds you over and over and over again. Well, I want you to remember what I'm about to do. I do not want anyone to come up here. This is an illustration, but it's not a hilarious illustration. I don't want anybody to come up here at all. But I want to ask you a question. I have a $100 bill in my hand. I want to ask you, would you like this $100? You may raise your hand. Would you like this $100? All you can do is raise your hand. Okay? Don't come running up here. Because I'm going to give you a demonstration of two things. I'm going to crumple up this $100. Do you still want it? Do you still want it? I'm going to step on it. I'm going to stomp on it. I'm going to get it become dirty. Do you still want this $100? No matter what I did to the money, you still wanted it. Why? Because it did not decrease in its value. It did not decrease in its value. Many times in our lives, we are dropped, crumpled, and ground to the ground. The decisions that we make, the circumstances that come our way, we feel as though we are worthless. But no matter what has happened in your life, remember, you will never lose value in God's life. Now, you know, as we have, Don, I want you to come up here. As this is a very reverent moment. As we have rid ourselves of our issues and now sensitive to the Spirit of God, God can use us. God's going to use Don. He doesn't have a clue as to what I'm going to ask him to do. Don, I want you to go through this church. I don't care. You can take as long as you want to, but God's going to show you who needs this $100. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your love, for your grace. Father, we thank you that as we rid of ourselves of the issues in our own life, Father, I thank you that we shall be a vessel to be used of thee. I thank you, Father, that you have assignments for each and every one of us. And sometimes those assignments are at unusual times. Oh, God, we know that there is a world that is hurting. We know that there is a world that is lost. We know that there is a world that needs a Savior. And Father, as we release all of those issues in our life, we thank you, Father, that we shall be so sensitive to thy Spirit, that each and every one of us will be used as a vessel to proclaim that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, and Jesus is coming again. And that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. So, Father, I thank you that you shall bring to each and every one those things that perhaps they don't even know that is hindering them in their walk with the Lord. I thank you, Father, that you will bring those things to their attention and you will show them exactly as you have shown me over and over and over again how to conquer those issues. And we shall give you all the praise. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps there are people in this room that you might say, I can't ask the Lord to help me with my issues because I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. And you say, today I want his help and I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand all over this audience. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I have another invitation. Perhaps you have accepted Christ as your Savior, but you've been like the prodigal son. You've gone away. And you need to return to Father's house. You need to say, Lord, I want you to help me in my life, to help me with all of my issues. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand, that you want to come back home. Come back home. Come back home. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I want to extend another invitation. Perhaps you have accepted Christ as your Savior, but there is another experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4 said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Being filled with the Spirit of God will give you a boldness like you have never had before to complete the assignments that he has for you. And so if you would like to receive that experience, please acknowledge it by the raising of your hand. By the raising of your hand. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Now, I want you to take another step. If you've raised your hand or should have raised your hand, I want you to come to the front right now. Bring all your belongings with you because you're going to go to a room where you're going to get some instructions. So if you've raised your hand or wanted to raise your hand, I ask that you come forward right now as we sing.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open.
The Lord is waiting for you. Make the first step. There were hands raised. Don't be afraid to come and get the very best gifts that God has for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. God is here. He loves you very much. He wants to help you in everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's waiting for you.
The precious
He's
blood
waiting.
Of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. 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 I have three little books in my hand. The New Birth in Him and Why Times. And I want to give this to one of you. What do you have to do to receive this? What do you have to do to receive these books? Can you tell me?
Ask,
and what else?
You shall receive.
That's right. You can hold out. I'm going to give them to you.
Thank you.
Now, all of you are going to get those books. But you see, that's a gift that we give to you. But we can't give the gift to you that you've come for. Salvation, rededication, filling of the Holy Spirit. God is the only one that can do that. And so if you just lift one hand to Him, saying, God, I come to you. I want to receive that gift. Father, I thank you that as the audience, reach out your hand toward them. Father, I thank you that as each one have come. I thank you, Father, whatever situation that they've come for, I thank you that as they have asked, they shall receive that gift which they have come for. And we shall give you all the praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. If you'll look this way, Greg and Christy will take you to a room and they will give you information and they will help you receive whatever you have come for. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, once again, you're going to face your issue, right? You're not going to cover up that issue. And you're not going to be afraid to share your issues that you have overcome to somebody else, because you're going to help somebody else. And most of all, if you need to help with those issues, God will show you how. God will show you what you need to do. I know that, and you know, sometimes the things that He shows you, it may not be really what you want to do. I know I had trouble with, you know, forgiving people, and he told me, go to Matthew 5:44, which says, you know, pray for those who have hurt you. Was that fun? No, no, no. But I'm going to tell you what, as you do what He's instructed to do, hey, you will, all those issues will be removed from your life. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up. You got a song?
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
Find those that are first-time guests. Pastoral staff, you can go to the doors. Don't forget, tonight, 6 o'clock, be here. And then on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, be here. Pastor will be here preaching. In fact, as I was speaking, he said, I'm on YouTube watching. He will be here. Thank you. Have a good afternoon. We'll see you tonight. 6 o'clock. God bless you.